Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Tim, and welcome to another episode of History Dweebs. Thank you for joining us today. I'm joined here, as always, with my co-host, Brandy Blueheller Herman. How are you today, Brandy? I keep screwing that up. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm fine.
Why don't you just call her the Bluehead Devil? Like you, that's what's screwing you up. If you say Bluehead Devil, it just rolls off the tongue.
Mm-hmm. I am also joined here by the distinguished Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, Timmy is colder than a horse heart out there.
Colder than a horse heart?
It is. And I was walking in the driveway, and there's ice all over.
You were just supposed to say fine.
I'm not fine.
I don't need a dissertation.
I'm not fine because I slipped on some ice. And while I didn't fall down because I have the agility of a cat, my hips are a little sore.
Cat-like.
Yeah, I got cat-like reflexes, but my hips are a little sore.
Well, maybe it's time for a replacement.
And the weather's bothering me.
It's making me crazy.
You know what it's making me like? And I'll get into this when I get into it's making me like somebody from Wisconsin. This long snap, cold snap.
And that's not good. That's not good. Although we have listeners from Wisconsin, so we have at least two listeners from Wisconsin. So we like to give them a shout out.
Two more days of this cold is going to be like The Shining at the Colonel's house.
Which brings us to the topic of today's podcast, which is Ed Gein. And for those of you who are not familiar with Ed Gein, he was a serial killer. How many people do you have to kill to be a serial killer?
You got to kill more than three.
Okay, well, I guess
you made that up. You don't actually.
No, you got to kill more than it.
He was a borderline serial killer, but anyway, it's a very gruesome tale. So, listener discretion should be advised because he was a pretty sick puppy, and we're going to get into that. But before we do,
I think pretty much listener discretion should be advised on every podcast we do.
Yes. I agree. So before we get started, though, we want to do some quick shout-outs to some listeners that we have been listening and following all of our podcasts that we really appreciate. I want to give a shout-out to Sharon in Lexington. Thank you, Sharon, for listening in to all of our podcasts. I want to give a shout-out to Sherry in New York, who listens to all of our podcasts and was a big help to us with the website and getting started. We appreciate that. I'm going to give a shout-out to Renee Boudre. Renee, thank you so much for listening. We have the ability to see where people, where our listeners come from. We're kind of like the NSA in that.
Oh, we know who you are.
We know who you are. No, we don't know who you are.
We don't know who you are, but we know where you're at.
Yeah, we know where we get market research statistics, and we know where we have listeners at. And we always have two or three people listen to every podcast in Newfoundland. And we just want to give a shout-out to the folks in Newfoundland who's been listening and, you know, send us an email because we're fascinated how you found the show. And, you know, we'd love to give you a real...
A prize.
No, not a prize, but we would like to give you a proper shout-out. So send us an email, historydweeb at yahoo.com, or send us an email, inbox us on our Facebook page, or even you can send to my personal email, which is timtscott@yahoo.com. We would like to give you a proper shout out, and thank you so much for listening. We have a couple more shout outs. Chuck, you had one? Colonel, I'm sorry.
I'd like to give a shout out to my friend Carla in New Boston and her cat. Carla
has many cats.
I know. And Carla, with the weather being so bad down in New Boston, she damn near ran out of cat food. And her friends had a Facebook drive to make sure she did not run out of cat food.
What?
But she didn't need it because she just went to the store to buy new cat food. But
when she had to go to CVS.
She went to CVS. But when she said she was running low, there was people coming from all over the country saying, Carla, I will get you some cat food. Now, I thought maybe Carla was on hard times eating cat food herself, like old people do. But
can you just not give her a shout out?
But anyway, Carla, you're a lovely woman. We appreciate you watching, listening, and please keep listening.
And she's like the undead. She never ages. I mean, she looks like the same like 30 years ago.
She's a Facebook friend of mine. Beautiful woman.
She's very beautiful.
And just as funny as you're ever going to find in a woman. And also, we have a new sponsor this week.
Oh, Jesus.
I want to give a shout out to them. It's the Moskowitz Kosher Irish Pub. Moskowitz Kosher Irish Pub.
Don't ever.
Yeah.
They don't exist.
I'm sorry, I got that wrong. It's Old Moskowitz.
Oh, that makes
Kosher,
a difference.
Kosher Irish Pub.
Because I couldn't find them on Google.
Old Moskowitz, okay. Yeah.
Do you have to take your hat off when you go in?
They got some. I'm not sure how they do the kosher corned beef brisket, but it's damn good. If you have a,
desired a brisket.
It's vegan. Brisket's good. Brisket's good.
I never had a brisket.
It's very good.
I had a biscuit.
How about a tasket?
Which is close. Sure.
Okay.
But Sal Moskowitz, thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, Sal. Thanks.
Antonio Moskowitz.
Who else? We had a very nice comment. We had a very nice comment this week on our Facebook page from Steve. And I know Brandy wanted to give him a shout out.
Well, sure, you just did. So
yeah, Steve from Rochester, right?
Steve from Rochester. Steve was here with his lovely wife, Jenny. They were in Cincinnati and listened to us evidently all the way on the 8-hour drive from Cincinnati to Rochester.
And see, that would seem
so
to me.
So we appreciate that.
We would. And we're so glad that they made it there safely with the weather. And
yes, we are.
I am so surprised that someone could listen to the show for 8 hours, but we're glad that you did.
Have you ever been alone with your wife in a car for 8 hours?
Stop talking.
No, I'm just saying.
I am divorced, so I can't answer that question, but okay. And we have one more very special shout-out that Brandy would like to do.
I'm not giving a shout-out to that damn dog.
Now, why you got to be so hateful, though? The dog puts on his little headphones and listens to every damn podcast we do, and you're going to be hateful. We're going to lose. You don't care about our audience. He's as loyal a listener. He's probably the most loyal listener we got on the whole show.
Only because you feed him.
I think we have some data that shows that Rudy does download quite a bit of our podcast.
Yes.
Does he? With his paw?
So, Rudabaker.
Clarence.
Walters.
The third.
Thank you, Rudy, for listening. And
who's a good boy?
Who's a good boy?
That's a good boy.
Okay.
Fool.
Okay, so we're 40 minutes into the podcast, and we have yet to talk about Eddie Gein. Is it Eddie or Ed? Ed or Eddie?
It depends on how well you knew him.
I didn't know him very well at all. First of all, let me say that this is not my topic. I did not pick this out. This is one of Brandy's. And Brandy gets all the cool topics, so because we can tell how many people listen to each topic, and every time Brandy picks out a topic, it's like we get 100 downloads. When I pick out one, we get like 3. But I'm kind of like,
well, Bessie Coleman was fantastic. That's one of Rutabaga's favorites, by the way.
Do not mess with Bessie Coleman. She was a good woman. But anyway.
She fell out of an airplane.
She flipped her plane.
The point of this is.
She can't drive.
The point of it is, Brandy gives you like dessert all the time. She gives you serial killers.
I'm the sweetness.
And freaks and people with abnormal behavior.
She picked the low-hanging fruit.
Yes, she does. What I put out there, like the Sultana and Bessie Cole, that's broccoli. It's good for you.
But nobody
likes it. No one likes it. No one likes it. But it's good for you. So this is your slice of apple pie today, because this is a murderer. He was a butcher. He was called the Butcher of Plainfield. And I am going to just sit back and let Chuck tell you all about him.
Well, first of all, Mr. Gein, Ed, he was born in a small farming community up in Wisconsin. Oddly, not far from where Jeffrey Dahmer was later to be born.
It's cold up there. They have to kill people.
And I'm telling you, there's something about those Wisconsin winters. It just makes a man as crazy as a polecat.
Well, it's not that far from Gacy. He was in Chicago, right?
Yeah, it's the winter. You get locked up. I mean, one day these people up there, they're rooting for the Packers. They got the little cheese thing on their head.
For the
2 weeks after the Super Bowl, you know what's going on? They got the neighbor's hairy back, and they're wearing it as a hat. I mean, these people get crazy. It's the wintertime up there, I'm telling you. You know what it's like down here? But anyway, let's get back to Ed.
Could we?
Ed Gein, when was he born?
Let's start there.
Ed Gein was born right about the turn of the century. Now, they didn't really keep good records back there. Now, Brandy will tell you about record keeping.
August 27th, 1906 was when he was born.
Yeah.
Brandy apparently keeps good records.
1906. Yeah. I said at the turn of the century. That's right, at the turn of the century. But anyway, here's what you need to know about Ed. This is what shaped Ed's twist. And we done some podcasts. We talked about some people. We met some people. We work in an interesting place. But Ed Gein is maybe the craziest son of a bitch I ever seen in my entire days. Ain't never heard of nothing as crazy as Ed Gein.
What made him so crazy?
Why don't we talk about his early life?
Okay, let me talk about his early life. And Brandy will get into what made him so crazy. But
you've got his early life, but doesn't know when he was born.
Yeah. Well, Ed was born in 1906 in Plainfield.
August 27th.
160-acre farm up in Plainfield they did.
I believe he was born in La Crosse, but go ahead.
Doesn't matter. They went to he was born in La Crosse. They moved to Plainfield because his mama wanted to get him away from
ne'er-do-wells.
She said it was Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
And you know, La Crosse is
in Ed's life,
crazy.
Pretty much
crack houses all over the place.
Oh yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. Opium dens.
Whores.
And whores just. Now, Ed.
That's where I go on vacation, La Crosse.
There you go.
The most important person in Ed's life, the person who shaped Ed more than anybody else, was his mama. His mama. And his mama was an odd duck. I mean, she was.
A religious woman.
Depending on how you view religious, but one thing about her, she hated her husband.
Who doesn't?
She just hated her husband.
I'm sure Dave's going to be happy to hear that.
But she refused to get a divorce for religious reasons.
There you go. That's a reason to stay around.
So what she did, she decided to do the Christian thing and torment the poor bastard to an early grave.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's what she did.
But she wants to go to heaven.
Yeah.
She
was pretty abusive to the boys. She used to send them down and read them every night passages from the Old Testament, but the scary parts, not the good parts.
Revelations.
No, that's New Testament. But anyway, the Old Testament, it would be learn your Bible first.
Follow Moses' Bible.
Anyway, she teach him the scary parts, not the good parts about Jesus loving you and forgiveness and anything else.
There was smiting.
There was smiting. There was plagues. There was all kinds of ugly stuff that she taught him about. But the most important thing that she taught her boys was that all women, herself excluded, of course, were prostitutes, harlots, Jezebels, or instruments of the devil.
Bingo.
Yeah. Now she was really woman. She was really only half right on that, but but anyway, she also oddly, and I ain't making this part up, she used to tell them that women's.
Do you know the word?
I believe the polite term is vajayjay. that some the women had teeth in the vajayjay. Women had teeth in the vajayjay, and if you jammed your tallywhacker, now you was liable to lose it. Now this had a profound effect on a young boy.
The older women have to get dentures?
Well, now see, that's and really that's a fallacy. I mean, it's less than 1%. Statistically, less than 1% of women have teeth in the vajayjays.
Less than 1%?
Yeah, it's not like
is that a hard?
It's not like it's
statistic?
An epidemic or anything.
Is that a hard statistic?
Know?
Less than 1%?
I'm saying less than 1%.
Could it be 0%?
Well, that would be less than 1%. Yes,
obviously.
So
okay.
So it's not like it's an epidemic running around.
It's not typhoid.
Yeah,
but what Mrs. Gein's point was is that there's always a chance you could run.
There's always a chance. You might hit a bad
track. Is always a chance.
Yeah. But basically what he taught her, she taught, like any good mama should, is that women's dirty, they mean, they're the devil. I mean, that's what every boy should know leaving the house.
And they don't drive very well.
They don't drive with a damn.
They can't drive planes. They fall right out.
They fall right out of planes.
You best be alone.
So they're living this happy little dysfunctional life in Plainfield, Wisconsin. And in 1940, George, his father, just said, you know what? Hell with it. I'm just going to die.
He was kind of whipped. Right.
Oh, he was worse than whipped. Yeah. He was like a mule, and he just said, "You know what?
Fuck it,
Lord, take me home, take me home, Lord, because I'm living with the devil now. Take me, send me to hell. It can't be."
He had a heart attack,
an alleged heart attack.
Yeah. But, alleged.
Yeah. Well, you know,
do we suspect something else?
Nobody did an autopsy.
We're not saying he didn't.
I'm not saying that she killed him.
No.
I'm not saying he killed himself.
There's no evidence that she killed him.
We're just saying
he died of a heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah.
He died of a heart attack.
So,
okay. So
now this led Ed to Ed and his brother Henry to run this 160-acre farm up in Plainfield. You know, and it was...
This farm was like at the very edge of town, out in the middle of nowhere.
It was a family farm. I mean, it was 200 acres.
It was damn near close to 200 acres. So, you know, but they got this pretty big farm.
What'd they grow?
I believe they grew cheese.
Shut up.
It was in Wisconsin.
Cheese plants.
They grew cheese.
Yeah.
Do you know what kind? That's fascinating.
Well, I will believe, being Ed Gein, he would grow the monster cheese.
I figured he'd grow head cheese.
Head cheese? He grew monster? He grew some Swiss?
Head cheese? Yeah. Fomunda cheese?
Fomunda, yeah. He was. But anyway, we're getting off subject again.
Imagine.
Now, Ed, being a smart man that he was,
sure,
he pulled a page from the Joni Ernst playbook.
Okay.
And if y'all know Joni Ernst, she's that crazy woman from Iowa that's a senator.
I don't, but
right
go ahead.
Now. Well, what he decided to do.
Right.
Yeah, what he decided to do was rather than work the farm, he just decided to collect some farm subsidies.
Why?
What happened to his brother?
Henry? Oh, Henry collected the farm subsidies too. But about this time, things went smoothly to about right 1944. 1944, things start to change.
Yeah, that's when the war started to turn around, too.
Well, because Henry is starting to tire the old lady. You know, first of all, he don't believe...
Henry is?
Yeah, because I think Henry might have met the little Becky Thatcher girl down the road, and he found out firsthand that there ain't no teeth in the vajayjay, but whatever.
But she was a whore.
He's
so
tired. Well, she was a
harlot.
Prostitute, harlot, Jezebel. But anyway, Henry's really starting to tire the mama. And he starts bad-mouthing her to Ed.
Man, that's a mistake.
Ed can't have it.
Now, most people don't like the mama trash talk. All right? But the one thing you
he
do
said
not
your mama?
Want to do.
Did he say your mama?
Your mama's so fat.
Well, they had the same mama, so no.
Our mama.
Our mama.
Our mama's so fat.
It's one thing for me to come in here and trash talk your mama. You
right.
know, you trash talk. I trash talk Dottie, which would I would never do.
My
I would
mom.
Never do because Dottie's a lovely woman.
Yeah, she is a very lovely woman.
Dottie is really a walking saint.
She must have been.
But you do not trash talk a psycho's mama.
Yeah, you don't mess with Eddie's mama.
He do not forget that shit. So here's where a strange occurrence comes.
Mm.
Now, there's a brush fire on the farm, mm-hmm. all right? Now, Ed and Henry are running about trying to put it out. And during the fire, Ed claims that he just lost sight of his brother. He don't know where Henry's at.
Yeah, it's a pretty big fire. Story.
They finally get the fire out.
And they're looking around for Henry. And Ed takes the sheriff right to Henry.
How odd is that?
So it's pretty peculiar. What's even more peculiar?
There's no soot on Henry. There's no burn marks on Henry. There's nothing on Henry.
Except a bunch of bashes on the damn head.
It's like the New York or the New Orleans Axeman been there. He's got bruises all over his head. Now,
he died,
Sheriff Kearns.
He died of smoke inhalation.
Sheriff Kearns, and this is where I got to start, we believe. Sheriff Kearns, his wife, made just an unbelievable rhubarb cobbler. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sheriff Kearns' wife made a blueberry cobbler that night.
Nice.
What does rhubarb cobbler have to do with blueberry cobbler?
Because the sheriff don't want to get messing around with investigating or anything else. He just looks at Henry and says, oh, looks like smoke asphyxiation to me.
I got to get home.
Got to get home to my rhubarb cobbler.
Well, the coroner listed it officially as asphyxiation.
Yeah, because the sheriff said so first, he wasn't going to go against his
word. Sorry, that's not in my notes.
Yeah, well,
but there was some question about him. There were some unexplained bruises on.
Oh, absolutely.
Unexplained? Unless his hair caught on fire and he beat himself with a pitchfork to put it out, what other explanation is there?
They didn't even perform an autopsy on this guy.
They
so
did
I don't
not.
Know how they
yeah.
can.
Yeah, it was kind of odd. Ed had said, went to get the police, said he didn't know where his brother was at in the time, but and yet he took the police right to his brother, and his brother was dead. And they kind of just said he died in the fire and didn't really follow up on it.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, you know, they find him and he's just deader than a possum trying to cross a four-lane highway, really, is what happens at poor Henry. And
so we think he might be victim number one.
He was probably victim number one.
Or, yeah.
So now we got Ed on the federal subsidies.
Yeah.
Now he's got to figure out a way to get, you know, now he loves his mama, but he's trying to get the hell out of the house. So he starts to do some odd jobs.
So there was in the beginning, there were four people in this house living kind of they all were kind of isolated, right? I mean, they didn't
it was like
socialize much. Mom was the domineering mom, and dad dies of a heart attack. Older brother dies, and now it's just Ed and Mom.
Ed and Mama.
Okay.
And that only lasted for a year.
Yeah, because? Because
Mama died a year later. She had a bunch of strokes. She actually died of cancer, but she had a bunch of strokes. She was in poor health.
So now that just leaves Edward.
Now, Ed's there by himself. Now, Ed's collecting the farm subsidies. He's probably collecting the SNAP and the TANF and whatever.
I don't think they had SNAP and TANF.
Well, whatever. Ed knew how to beat the system.
Okay.
So he's collecting a bunch of stuff. And then he decides to make some under the table money doing odd jobs. And, the people of the town started calling him Weird Old Eddie, which seems fitting. But anyway, Ed did another peculiar thing. He locked up the entire house except for two rooms. Two rooms. He left his mother's room right as it was and kept it as a shrine. Much like Norman Bates in the movie Psycho.
Yeah, you know, I saw that, and I know that seems odd, but I mean, I can kind of see that. I mean, there's things where like people have lost their kids or whatever, and they keep kind of their room the way it was or whatever. It's probably not healthy mentally, but it.
You locked up the whole house.
And no, it was.
And your empathy with Ed Gein makes me worry.
Yeah, because of
someone.
No, I'm just saying that if that was all. Then I don't think that was that unusual, but he had some other stuff going.
Well, I had
odd for him.
And of the three of us here, I'm the only one with a dead mama. And when
really,
my
we're
mama
that
died,
up?
No, I'm just
why
saying.
Why are you playing that card again?
When my mama died,
yeah.
I went to her house. I scoured her room for loose
money.
Change,
right.
Jewelry, anything, whatever. You
drugs.
Know? drugs, whatever she might have. And I did not keep it as a shrine. We changed it into...
I'm just saying it's
we
not...
We put pinball machines in there, big widescreen TV.
Stripper pole, yeah. That kind of stuff.
I mean, it was just...
I'm just saying it's not that unusual for people who...
It's peculiar, though.
It's a little odd.
It's peculiar. But he lit candles.
There are cases where people have done that before.
I'm pretty sure he left his mama's body in there.
No.
He did?
No. The body wasn't in there.
Oh, that was in the movie cycle.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. I'm confusing the two.
Now, I might have dug her up at some point.
So now Ed, they call him Weird Old Eddie in town. Ed starts to develop this really deeply unhealthy interest in the anatomy of the female body. Okay, well, now.
Isn't that what you have?
I'm not judging here. I'm not talking about, you know, running into the bathroom with the Sears catalog.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All looking at the lingerie section.
It's the Sears catalog. Nice.
Well, I'm talking, this was a long time ago.
JCPenney. Yeah. National Geographic.
Yeah, they didn't have Victoria's Secret back then coming in the mail. They only had the Sears catalog. They
didn't have PersianKitty.com or anything.
The hell?
What?
You'll be checking it out later, you know.
Ed starts to buy medical encyclopedias. He starts to buy books on anatomy. Some really, really foul pulp horror things. That True Detective trash he was getting.
Ooh, I like those True Detective trash.
True Confessions.
Oh. Yeah. And downright, and I ain't talking about the Playboy. I'm talking about downright pornographic magazine.
Cause it shameful.
Was, I mean, he was going to get the mail. It ain't like his mama. You know, if his mama would have got the mail and he would have got a
pornographic. She wouldn't have tolerated
beat
that.
Beat him with a stick.
But right.
Ed's all alone, and he's on the internet just ordering all
he
kinds.
He wasn't on the internet. This was 1950.
Okay, well, he's on something. Somehow he's getting... Anyway, he's got all these crazy things.
They order some sea monkeys.
Yeah. And it became...
X-ray glasses.
Now, you two are just making a mockery of the show. Would you take it seriously?
I'm sorry.
I thought we were mocking you.
Sorry, Colonel.
He became strangely fascinated with what the Nazis did to the Jews in the medical experiments in the concentration camps.
Like the Mengele stuff.
Yeah, he became very... And then Ed one day gets an idea. He's looking in the paper, you know, for some ads for some pornographic magazines or whatnot. And he sees the obituaries.
That's where I look.
And
right next to the porn ads, there's the obituaries.
Yeah. And Ed decides that he is going to start digging up bodies.
Yeah.
He's going to start digging. But not the old ones. He's getting the fresh ones. That's why he's looking
at
the obituaries.
Sure. That's not nearly as weird.
And then he's at, remember, you're in Wisconsin.
It's cold.
So this body's going to keep for a long, long time.
Maybe in the summertime.
Even it's cold in the summertime.
Oh, is it?
Remember, they're putting them 6 foot down. So it's cold down.
Right. So he's looking in for obituaries for newly buried bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. And he's, that's when he starts digging up his first body.
Now, never forget your first.
That is the young Ed Gein.
That's where he starts to take a turn.
That's where he takes a turn for it. All the things I have said here, this is where he takes a turn for the strange.
And
for the
speaking
strange.
Of the strange, we're going to turn
speaking
it to...
Speaking of... And if we're going to get into really strange shit, we're going to let the Blue Head Devil do it. Because I don't even want to talk about
the foul, foul, dastardly things he did after that.
We would not expect someone of your stature to discuss things like that, Colonel. We know those things offend you, but we will let
it was dastardly.
Brandy discuss these disgusting things because that's kind of what she does.
Wow. So on November 16th in 1957, there was a hardware store owner, Bernice Warden, that disappeared. And police, they had some reason to suspect that Eddie had taken her.
He wasn't he in there like the day before to buy some antifreeze or something?
He had come in. Her son actually told him that he'd been in the store, saying that he would return the next morning for some antifreeze. There was a sales slip there for the gallon of antifreeze, and it was the last one that she wrote.
Anyway, I think it was the first day of hunting season, and all the guys were out of town or something. I think I read that.
So they searched Jean's property, and they found her. They found Miss Warden. They found her decapitated body in the shed. She was hung upside down by ropes at her wrist and with a crossbar at her ankles. And she was dressed like a deer. He'd had her hung up, dressed
like a deer. And by
dressed
like a deer, you don't mean
no,
to
I
put
don't
antlers
mean,
on
she
her.
Didn't have antlers
she
on her.
She was
no.
cut and skinned.
She was being,
yes.
She had,
like
she,
the hunters would call dressed.
Thank you, yes. She'd been shot with a .22 caliber rifle, and he started to mutilate her after her death.
He was skinning her, basically.
Basically. Yeah. So then they decided, what the hell, we'll go in the house and see what's going on.
Well, obviously then they have probable cause.
Well, you would call it probable cause, yes. So at that point, they decide we're going to go in the house. Now let's talk about some of the things that they found in old Eddie's house.
What was the condition of his house?
Well, you know, it was a little bit trashed, but whole human bones and fragments, a wastebasket made of human skin. You can't get that at IKEA.
You can't.
No.
If you did, you couldn't put some of it together.
No, it's very hard.
You find them on Amazon every once in a while, but then the people are shortly arrested.
It's a whole thing.
And it's dry, ashy skin. Yeah. It ain't real good.
Human skin covering several chair seats, skulls on his bedpost, female skulls. I think I see, let me see, 10 female, actually, skulls that had the tops of their heads sawn off. He had in some human skull bowls for his Captain Crunch in the morning.
Yeah. Well, ain't nothing like eating some Fruity Pebbles out
You know that's right.
And some ice cream in the evening. Mm-hmm. A little snack before you go to bed.
He had made himself a corset from a female torso, skin from shoulder to waist.
So he perhaps was a cross-dresser, just like Jonas Salk.
I don't know. Well, you want to, you know, no.
I would not risk sullying the good name of Mr. Gein. And just throwing out that he was a cross-dresser.
Yeah. Leggings made from human leg skin.
What
those
are
the best, the best kind.
Masks made from the skin from female heads. He had Mary Hogan. Her face was in a paper bag. Mary Hogan was, I believe, a bar owner.
Yeah, she
and
was.
I'll talk
she
about
had,
her
she,
in a few minutes.
Yeah, she had disappeared for a few years.
Her face... Her face mask was in a paper bag. Her skull was in a box. He had Bernice Warden's entire head in a burlap sack. He had taken her heart and put it in a plastic bag in front of his potbelly stove. This is my personal favorite.
There's a lot of protein in hogs, though.
Let me tell you something. This is my personal favorite.
Like scrambled eggs.
9 vulvae in a shoebox. Now, I've seen the movie Eddie Gein. And in the movie, he was frying that stuff up to eat.
The vulvae,
yes. Although they were not, since this was back in the 50s, things were not as tidy as they might be now.
Right.
So it just looked like a big Christmas wreath that he was frying up in Crisco.
Well, the problem was he...
Are they high in calories?
I don't know.
The problem, it almost... And see, that's what almost got him caught
the first
time.
That he didn't have teeth.
Is that... The first time he fried up just 3.
He was frying pooter.
It was like, you know, he thought it'd be like catfish. You know, he threw a little cornmeal on him, whatever.
Cornmeal.
He had every cat in Wisconsin surrounding his house.
Okay, you're done talking. And, he had a young girl's party dress and the vulvas of 2 females judged to have been about 15 years old. Here's Chuck's personal favorite accessory, a belt made from human nipples, from female human nipples.
Now, here's what I got to ask.
Nope.
Because
It's pertinent.
They were all different sizes.
Were they brown nipples or pink nipples? Because
maybe he alternated.
That would be stylish.
It would be stylish, but you cannot wear black shoes and a brown nipple belt.
That's true.
It just
that's true. Well,
maybe he alternated.
That's a faux pas. Yeah,
it's a faux pas.
It is
faux pas.
It's like a faux pas only.
It's
like
only different.
Like a fake pope.
They found four noses, a pair of lips on a window shade dress drawstring, a lampshade made from the skin of a human face, and fingernails from female fingers.
So were the only body parts they found were from females?
Yes, it appears so. Well, that's all that's listed here. Some of them they didn't know because they were very decomposed, but what they have listed here looks like they were females. When he was questioned about it, he told investigators that between 1947 and 1952, he made it as many as 40 night visits to three local graveyards to get the recently buried bodies. But he was in a dazed-like state and didn't really know what he was doing.
I don't think so. That's a lot of work, digging up a grave.
Well, on about 30 of these visits, he said he came out of his daze and was in the cemetery. And he left the grave in good order and just, you know, let him be. My guess is they didn't have any, you know, body parts that were viable for him. On other occasions, he dug up the graves of recently buried middle-aged women he thought resembled his mother's. Took the bodies home where he tanned their skins to make all of his crap. He admitted to robbing 9 graves. The investigators visited the locations and they actually dug up a couple of the graves and were able to verify that he'd been there. One of the graves was empty. One of the graves had a crowbar there instead of a body. So they were able to confirm that he'd been there. Soon after his mother's death is when Gein began to create his woman suit so that he could become his mother. He could literally crawl into her skin.
And the problem was his mama had big boobies.
Well, I don't
know. She's a matronly woman, and Ed had...
So he wasn't really cross-dressing as much as he was just putting
on... He was taking on his mama's identity.
He was making a suit out of these corpses.
Sure.
Okay.
But he denied having sex with the bodies because they smelled bad.
Well,
he's got standards.
He does.
Let's not go crazy.
Which is an interesting thing.
A little perfume. And
if what he is saying is true, and they have no reason to believe it's not, Ed Gein never had sex with a live woman.
Yeah.
And he was not having sex with the dead women.
So he never had sex.
Unless he was, you know.
There's no record of him, like, ever having any type of girlfriend or anything like
he
that.
He had a girlfriend one time. Yeah. I mean, he did have a girlfriend one time, but the first date, he gave her a shovel and said, here, come on, let's go out to the cemetery, help me dig this girl up. She was like, no, there's too much work.
That's a bummer date.
Yeah.
It is really a bummer date.
He hit her in the head with the shovel, cut off her nipples, and put it on
the boat. The ground in the wintertime in Wisconsin's got to be frozen. It's going to be hard.
He was dedicated.
He was committed.
I believe he was... He got caught because he kept renting the same Bobcat over and over.
Dumbass. he admitted to the shooting death of Mary Hogan, which, you know, they found all her shit in his house. So
Mary Hogan was
the tavern owner.
Yeah.
She'd been missing since 54.
So she'd been missing like 3 years.
But he doesn't remember the details of her death.
But he did. He did go into that bar. He frequented that bar.
Yes.
And from what I remember reading about her, she was a... kind of the mirror image of his mom. She talked dirty, told dirty jokes, cussed a lot. And, you know, was one of the guys, kind of.
His mom was like that?
No, she was
the opposite
of his mom.
But she had a physical resemblance.
Yeah, physical resemblance to his mom. Yeah, and she was found missing, and they were just blood. I think they just found blood on the floor, the tavern floor where she worked.
Back then, they didn't have the CSI.
No.
One of the neighborhood kids reported that...
CSI playing field.
Yes, that's a hopping thing. One of the kids in the neighborhood reported that Eddie had shrunken heads in his house, and he said he told him that they were from a cousin, sent them back to him, who was serving on the islands during World War II. But upon investigation by police, they were determined to be human facial skins, carefully peeled from corpses and used by Gein as masks.
Mm.
So one
thing about Hogan.
So he's a freak show. What?
I watched this old documentary on this, and they were interviewing these people in town, and it was like your classic. Oh yeah, he was a quiet guy.
He's always a quiet guy.
Yeah,
right?
He's nice, not. But they did say when Mary Hogan went missing, a bunch of them were sitting around talking. Because Eddie would do, like, odd jobs, and he would get on these work crews that was doing, like, harvesting and stuff whenever they needed.
Oh, he did some harvesting.
He's day labor.
He did day labor. But anyway, they had one of the guys was talking about this Mary Hogan that was missing. And Eddie kept saying, oh, yeah, she's over at my place. And then they was like, you know, they kind of yucked it up. Like, oh, yeah, sure, Eddie. But apparently she was over his house.
Yeah, so nobody listened to him.
And when the police came in and they found a bag, the cop opened the bag and he just he looked to be like human hair and just by instinct reached in and grabbed it and pulled it out. And it was Mary Hogan's head. And he recognized her. Oh, there you are.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was...
Now, Ed was making these masks. How would you... See, you know what he was, though? He was a resourceful man because he didn't have to buy a Halloween costume.
That's true.
Every year, he could be somebody different.
He was very resourceful.
How'd you like to be one of the poor little bastard kids knock on his door for Halloween?
I don't think...
God knows what you'd get.
It was out. Yeah. It was out the edge.
Lady fingers.
Yeah, lady fingers.
All right. So on November 21st, 1957... He was arraigned. They only arraigned him on one count of first-degree murder.
And that was for the...
That was for the lady...
Hardware.
The hardware lady.
Okay, hardware.
Well,
they had the other lady in his the head in his bag in his house.
But they couldn't prove he murdered her.
Yeah, it was a coincidence.
Right. I don't know how it got here.
How many times you come home? I can't. If I had a dollar for every time I came home, there was somebody hanging in my garage.
I don't know what happened.
You can't charge me with murder.
Well, because
every time.
And he was, you know, he was in
it's reasonable doubt.
He was in a daze. He doesn't remember being at the bar. Blah blah blah. So anywho, so he pleads not guilty by reason of insanity. He was found mentally incompetent and sent to Central State Hospital for the criminally insane. Is now known as Dodge Correctional Institute. It's a maximum security facility in Waupun, Wisconsin. He was later transferred to Mendota State in Madison, Wisconsin, and was diagnosed with schizophrenia. In 1968, they determined he was sane enough to stand trial. So on November 14th of 1968... The trial began, lasted a week. He was found guilty of first-degree murder, but was found to be legally insane and just spent the rest of his life in a mental hospital.
You know, he really lucked out because had it been like 10 years prior, they would have fried him.
They would have cooked.
Had it been 10 years later, like if this happened today.
You couldn't do the insanity. You can't do the insanity defense now.
Yeah, they don't work. It doesn't work. They fried him. So he spent the rest of his life in a mental hospital.
So he goes to the nut house.
Yeah,
and the state seizes his property and is going to be auctioned off. It's set to be auctioned on March 30th of 1958. Like they didn't waste any time. They were getting it out of there, and they were gonna whoever it was going to make the house a tourist attraction.
Right,
that was the rumor. But on March 27th, fire destroyed the house. Arson was always suspected, but they never solved it.
And I think that was the best thing. I mean, I think what happened there is the townspeople just got together and said, let's get... Because they were having people coming from all over the world. I mean, reporters and people...
But they'd already taken the stuff out. I mean, it's
ridiculous. Curiosity seekers. Yeah, but I mean, they were...
Can you imagine the smell in that house?
But I think they got. I think the town people got together and they said,
"Well, they tore down John Wayne Gacy's house too."
Yeah.
Wow. Well, they probably had to because everybody was underneath. When Gein learned of it, he just said just as well. He was like, wasn't that interested. Now his car, which he used to haul off the bodies of some of his victims, was sold for $760 in a public auction to a sideshow operator named Bunny Gibbons.
Old Bunny.
Oh, good old Bunny. And he later charged carnival goers 25 cents an admission to see old Eddie Gein's car.
I'd pay 25 cents to see that.
If there was a body in it.
I'd pay 50.
Double it.
Yeah. I just want to see a finger or something.
So, actually, Eddie died July 26, 1984. He died of respiratory failure due to lung cancer. He was 77.
Shouldn't have been smoking.
He was crazy. You can't tell those people none.
But he was a very... I mean, he was very...
the police liked him.
He was very quiet, unassuming.
Nice guy.
Yeah. Well, but his gravestone just kept getting vandalized and actually was stolen in 2000.
Yeah, he was buried next to his mother.
It was recovered. Of course he was, on top of her next door. Yeah. The gravestone was recovered in 2001 near Seattle and is now in storage at the Sheriff's Department. I don't even know that his gravestone is marked now because people just take it. So the really cool thing is now the people have gotten a hold of this story and have now made it into its folklore. And so all of these movies, things that you wouldn't even think of were based on Eddie Gein, including Psycho.
The Norman Bates character, right?
Yes.
His mama.
Let's see. There's a bunch of others here. Deranged in 1974. In the Light of the Moon in 2000.
Saw that.
It was released in the U.S. as Ed Gein in 2001. Ed Gein, the Butcher of Plainfield in 2007. Hitchcock in 2012. He served as a model for several book and film characters, such fictional serial killers as Norman Bates, Leatherface, and Buffalo Bill.
From Silence of the Lambs.
From Silence of the Lambs.
Well, there's maybe some people don't know.
He also spawns what's called a subgenre in music called black humor, and he has been exploited by transgressive art or shock rock, often without association with his life or crimes beyond the shock value of his name. There's a song from Slayer called Dead Skin Mask, Nothing to Gein from Mudvayne, and Ed Gein. It's on the Ziggins album.
So he became kind of a cultural icon.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people know about him, and it's just a lot of it's from popular culture, where you know you've always grown up knowing who Norman Bates was. I don't know how many times I've called my own children Norman Bates, but you always know who Norman Bates was. Most people know who Buffalo Bill is. This is, you know, this guy has seeped into popular culture by being a complete nut job.
Oh, he was a nut job.
No.
But didn't you been to Wisconsin?
I know.
Did not insult Wisconsin. We got our friend Brad listens to us.
I know.
And Brad will. Barry listens to us from Wisconsin.
It is so damn cold up there.
Brett Favre
makes you do crazy things.
Wisconsin.
Brett Favre crazy. Mm-hmm. You tell me Brett Favre not crazy.
Please don't call him a cross-dresser.
He wasn't a cross-dresser, but I'm just saying, in the wintertime, when it starts getting cold in about September.
Okay, so we're going to stop talking about that. Yeah,
let's,
you get cabin
fever.
Crazy.
Let's go to listener mail.
We have listener mail?
No, actually, we don't.
Okay.
So that's it for Ed Gein.
That is it for Ed Gein.
So that was kind of creepy. Thank you all for listening. Brandy, do you have any final thoughts for our listening audience?
I'm going to go buy myself a nipple belt so I'm just current with all the fashion trends.
Well, you are a fashionista.
I am, absolutely.
Charles?
This is what I don't understand about the nipple belt. Does it have to be cold out for you to snap it through the hole?
No, I think they're just glued on.
Do they have nipple suspenders? Because I kind of like the Larry King look.
I don't think there's nipple suspenders.
Yeah, I'd like a nipple hat. A nipple hat would be cool.
See what I can do.
Okay. You need some big...
I currently only have two nipples, and I'm not giving those up, so I don't know where we...
But when you die, I mean, could you will them?
Could I will them?
Could you will them? I mean, I'm not saying I'm making stuff. Right. I'm just saying.
Right. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm making anything. I'm not saying
I'm making anything.
But I'm not saying I'm not.
Yeah.
Charles, besides nipple, a nipple hat, or is there anything you would like?
Nipple accessories.
Yeah, I think that there's something for the young men. If you're under 17, you probably shouldn't be listening to this, but... For the young men, something I would like to clear up is very rare that I mentioned earlier to run into a vagina with teeth in it. Don't let that worry you too much.
Lesson from your old Uncle Chuck.
Yeah.
Don't worry about
the teeth in the vagina.
Don't fall for that myth.
Toothy pooters.
Yeah, but always wear a condom just in case.
The condom will protect you from teeth.
The condom will protect you from teeth.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's true at all.
If you wear an aluminum condom, it will.
It'll protect you from aliens.
And for all you ladies out there with teeth in your vagina, always remember to floss. So that is
it. We don't want ginger vagina.
That is it for our podcast today. Thank you for joining us. Please check us out on Facebook or check us out on iTunes. You can leave comments there, but don't be mean. Leave good comments. Check us out on Stitcher, and we'll see you again real soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.